The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So how many of you share a problem that I have? Okay, I'm going to admit to something perhaps of a smartphone addiction. I have realized that I'm spending far too much time checking emails, WhatsApp messages, text messages, constantly every time I'm hearing a ping, turning to the phone, breaking away from what I do, unless it's being on air here with you. But most of the rest of the day, I'm almost a constant slave to my smartphone. How do we, if you also suffer that affliction, deal with it? Well, we're joined now by the author of an excellent little book called How to Break Up With Your Phone. Catherine Price, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I love the phrase break up. You suggest there's almost a romantic attachment here between a person and the phone.
I think it's very much a romantic attachment. If you think especially of the early days of infatuation where you just can't stop thinking about the person and it drives you crazy to be apart. I think that's definitely what's going on with our phones.
And do we understand why that has happened? The psychology of how these devices, which are in effect only 10 years old as a smartphone, have managed to get so deep into the psyche of so many people?
Well, yes. So they're designed to do that. In particular, the apps that are on them are designed to excite our brains in a way that really does replicate what happens in the early stage of a romantic relationship, where you're just so excited about the person. Everything seems new. In particular, there's a neurotransmitter called dopamine that's released when we check our phones and find something new. So whereas with a romantic partner that's a person, eventually that wears off. Our phones are packed with all these triggers to just make it feel constantly like we're in the early stages of a romantic relationship and we can't get enough.
You've broken your book into two parts, what's called the wake up and the break up. Now, tell us a bit about the wake up first, please.
The wake up is meant to freak people out a bit. meaning that my background is as a medical and science reporter. And so I looked into what's known about how spending lots of time on our phones could be affecting our brains, and in particular, affecting our abilities to concentrate, abilities to form memories, to get good sleep, to enjoy our interactions with other people, to have meaningful lives in general, all of these things that I kind of wondered about based on my own experience. And I also went into detail about some of the stuff I was just talking about in terms of how our phones and apps are designed to suck us in. So that's kind of the scientific background part of the book. And then the second half of the book is something I'm really excited about because it actually provides a plan for what you can do to take back control of your relationship. So when I say break up, I don't mean throw your phone under a bus. I mean create a better relationship with it. Sort of like going from being crazy romantic relationship back to just being friends and having a good relationship. You get together for coffee, you enjoy each other, but you're not dependent on each other in the same way that we are now.
How do you do that, please?
Well, the first thing you're already doing, congratulations, which is that you start to think about it. Start to notice yourself when you're on your phone and pay attention to how often you reach for it. And then begin to ask, well, why am I reaching for it in this moment? And do I really want to be? So if the answer is yes, if you say, oh, I actually do want to be checking my phone right now to see if I got an email from so-and-so or whatever, that's fine. But for many of us, we do this completely on autopilot. We reach for our phone. I call these zombie checks. You look at your hand and you think, how did my phone get there? And what was I just doing? And what made me pick it up in the first place? So the first step is really to start to catch yourself in the process of reaching without thought, and then making sure that if you continue, then you actually want to be continuing.
It strikes me a little bit about the relationship we might have with things like food and alcohol as well, and having to exercise a degree of self-control not to have that extra portion to eat, not to have that next drink.
Yeah, I think that it is very similar in terms of it being a behavior that is hard to change. And I think one of the keys here, though, is that you don't want to think about it as a restriction. So don't think about it as spending less time on your phone, because just like you're saying, you know, not having dessert is not fun. Dessert is delicious. Instead of thinking about it spending less time on your phone, think about it as spending more time on your life, and then determining what role your phone should play in your ideal life. Because if you think about it, the time you spend on your phone, we only have a finite amount of time, right? It's a zero something. So if you're spending time on your phone, you are not spending time on something else. And you're not spending time on something else that's meaningful to you. So it actually is a very positive, it's a gift to give to yourself if you spend less time on your phone, because then you're giving yourself an opportunity to do something else. And you'd be surprised by how much time you end up having if you spend a bit less time on your phone.
What about allocating time? In the way that we allocate maybe time to have three meals a day, we decide we will only have a certain number of units of alcohol in a week, that we decide that we have time at the weekend where we might want to go out and do things. Should you treat your phone like that?
In a sense, yes, but I would phrase it a little bit differently in that instead of just saying I'm going to have X units of phone time a week, I would say instead, okay, let me figure out how much time on my phone makes me feel good and serves a practical value, and then aim towards that goal. So in other words, it's a positive goal. It's not like, okay, after I reach this point, I have to stop because I set a limit for myself. Instead, you're saying, okay, I know that I enjoy looking at Facebook. I mean, if you do, personally, I hate Facebook. But
so do I. Don't go on it at all. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am addicted to Twitter, I have to admit.
Okay, so for Twitter, you're like, okay, I enjoy it. It brings me actual pleasure for how long? I don't know, like 5 minutes to look through the feed. But after that, it starts to feel like a compulsive behavior. So once you recognize that, you can give yourself 5 minutes on Twitter. And if you find it difficult to stop after that, which is probably true because Twitter's designed to keep you going, the feed is infinite, you can never finish Twitter, you could do something like set a timer for yourself, or you could use an app blocker. There's a great one called Freedom to basically only allow yourself a certain amount of time in the app, and basically little things that help you live up to your intentions with a positive goal.
Can you go cold turkey, or do you have to sort of manage the way you do a diminution of your use of the phone?
I don't think it's practical for most people to go cold turkey as a permanent thing because there's so many things our phones are genuinely useful for and so many things that are cool about them. You know, I love taking pictures on my phone. I don't post them to anything, but I love taking pictures and I love listening to podcasts or music. I do think it's beneficial, though, to once in a while take a break. When my husband and I first started talking about the issue of phone addiction in our own relationships, we decided to just see what would happen if we unplugged from all of our screens for 24 hours. We did it from a Friday to a Saturday, and it ended up being a very eye-opening and rejuvenating experience. And by the end of the 24 hours, we felt much less drawn to our phones, and then the effects lingered for the rest of the week. So I don't think you should I don't think most people should aim to go cold turkey forever, but I do think it can be very interesting to do it as an experiment for 24 hours and see how it makes you feel.
Did it make you feel much better?
Yes, it made me feel much better. It made me feel much calmer. I guess I realized that I had this mild level of anxiety all the time when I was near my phone because I felt that I needed to be checking it or that there would be something there waiting for me or something I needed to attend to. And giving myself the freedom to not check actually felt very restorative. And that's a reaction I've heard from a lot of other people who have done this. With that said, I also had moments of existential angst because I began to realize how much time I allow to that I spent on my phone. If you take back that time, I got to figure out what to do with it. I remember one afternoon sitting on the couch at like 2 p.m. and realizing I was waiting for time to pass till dinner because I didn't know what to do for fun. And that was a real eye-opening moment for me. But it resulted in me actually, you know, signing up for a guitar class and taking action on things that I'd always kind of thought I wanted to do but never seemed to get around to.
The book is a fantastic little practical guide as to how to do it, full of insight and scientific research too. It's called How to Break Up with Your Phone. Catherine Price, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.